I just want to make sure that even our prayer meeting tomorrow night has been canceled, so. There, and ladies' Bible class. I'll just put that on top of it. Okay, so. There was a movie in which the main actor plays a part of a paranoid hermit who, despite his grouchy personality and fear of relationships, he falls in love with a waitress. And during their unlikely romance, the woman who has been so frustrated by his difficult personality challenges him to give her a reason as to why they should continue the relationship. And his response to her was, "You make me want to be a better man." One's yearning to be better is a theme that we, I think, all can identify with and approve of. In this movie, it was the love of a woman that was the motivation to change. And it's okay for a movie where we want an easy and happy ending in about 2 hours. But in real life, becoming a better person may require more than someone's love, even though love is a very important motivator. In real life, we tend to repeat losing behavior over and over and over again. And oftentimes, we end up trapped in negative circumstances that are created by our own recurring bad decisions. In real life, the secret of correcting bad behavior and becoming a better person is to replace the elements of bad behavior with good and positive things in our lives. And Jesus explains this principle in Luke chapter 11. Starting in verse 24, Jesus said, "When the unclean spirit had gone out of a person, it passes through the waterless places seeking rest. And finding none, it says, 'I will return to my house from which I came.' And when it comes, it finds the house swept and put in order. And then it goes and brings seven other spirits more evil than itself. And they enter and dwell there. And the last state of the person is worse than the first." In this short passage, Jesus explains that it is not enough to get rid of bad habits or bad thoughts or even evil intentions. These things have to be replaced with good and positive things. But what he says is, if you don't replace these with good and positive things, you will eventually become worse than you were, and not better. Friends, it isn't age that changes us. Change is what changes us. And there are three changes that I will speak about tonight that can make us a better person. The first one is that we need to change our playground. There are some places that we simply must stop going to if we want to become a better place. Some of those places are physical. If you have friends and they invite you over to their house, but the things they do are against what you're trying to change, regardless of what it could be, it's best to stop going there. Sometimes these places offer us the greatest temptations, problems that we're trying to eliminate. In the book of Proverbs, Solomon gives us a lot of playgrounds that we need to avoid. In Proverbs chapter 2, David writes about how wisdom will save us. In verses 16 through 18, he says, "So you will be delivered from the forbidden woman, from the adulteress with her smooth words, who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets her covenant with God. for her house sinks down to death and her past to the departed. And in Proverbs 3 and verse 33, it says, the Lord's curse is on the house of the wicked. And in Paul in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 22, reminds us that we are to abstain from every appearance of evil. We cannot become a better person or people without changing the places where our moral and our spiritual failures are most likely to occur. To correct these losing behaviors and to become better people, we need to exchange these things with things that are much, much better. In Psalms 84 and verse 10, David here writes, he says, for a day in your courts is better than 1,000 outside. I would rather stand at the threshold of the house of God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. Now, it's true, we can't become hermits. We can't go out here and join a monastery somewhere where we want to be all by our lonesome, because that's not the solution. The solution is for us to aggressively seek the places that provide us with the best opportunities for self-improvement. We can improve, for example, the environment at our homes by removing the things that bring us down. No, Denise, that does not mean getting rid of John. Being at worship, when we meet, being there regularly so that our lives and our lifestyles are anchored by experience in these places and the influences that we receive from one another to strive to do better. We need to look for opportunities where we can be of service, because these things will definitely cause our own personal growth and improvement. You know, how many of us have told our children that the best place to find a spouse is at a church event than a bar? In the end, it is the choices of what place to be in which usually decide how we become. And when we think on those things, we can ask ourselves a question: would we find Jesus in a place like this? Or, even better yet, if I'm in a place like this, would I be blessed by Christ? If we're here, absolutely. It's kind of keeping these questions in the back of our minds that can help us decide where we should go and which places we should be. Another necessary change in order to become a better person is probably one of the hardest, and that is to change our playmates. Few choices in life are as crucial to our well-being and success as our choice of friends and associates. And I like to use the term playmates. The Bible is very clear. Paul provides the warning in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33, where he says, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts bad or good character. We have a lot of men and examples of men and women in the Bible who were influenced by others. We only have to go back to Genesis 19 and Lot and his family, how the bad influences of the city of Sodom and Gomorrah led to their destruction. Or to Aaron in Exodus 32 in the first four verses, where he was influenced by others to make that calf out of gold. Did Solomon's wisdom protect him from the influence of his pagan wives? Or how about the example that Paul gives us in Galatians chapter 2 with Peter, where he was pressured by the Judaizers that compromised the gospel for a time because he went away and removed himself from the Gentiles. I think we need to face that, to face the fact that we are easily molded by the character of our friends and business associations. Now, growing up, my mom always knew what my brother and I were up to just by who we were hanging out with. She knew which kids in the block were bad influences and which were okay to play with. But it is true that birds of a feather flock together. But you know, we don't need 50 good people as playmates. All we really need is one. But that one person needs to be better than we are, so that they will be that positive influence that can stimulate us to do better and encourage us to do better. And we need to seek them out. Seek out the ones who have proven and demonstrated their success. When John was starting his business up, he did not consult with the people that filed for bankruptcy 10 times. That's not how things are done. And that's not how you get ahead. But we need to look at that also in the sense of cultivating our friendships. Those who constantly fail in friendships, we do not need to seek them for advice and to help. But our problem, though, is that maintaining the friendships with those of our past is a lot easier than being able to be with someone who is going to challenge us to be better. But you know, it's comforting when you can find that one person that won't judge or try to change you. Unless it's for the better. You see, the friends that always seem to drag us down, they're comforting because we don't have to worry about the judgment that they bring upon us. Proverbs 27, verse 17, Solomon said that iron sharpens iron, that one man sharpens another. And that's true. Those people that we stand next to who are encouraging will always be there to pick us up, but they will also be there to step on our toes when we need it. Guys, how many times are we getting ready to say something and we know we shouldn't say it because it's going to create a problem that we get the elbow in the rib or we get the foot on the toes because our wives are standing there next to us? The other thing that we need to change is our playthings. Sometimes getting rid of some of the playthings that are bad influence is what we truly need to do. Recreation was meant to be a blessing. And while we never find in the scriptures of where Christ had left and went out on a camping trip and stuff, he did get time away from himself. And oftentimes he would take his disciples with him, away from the pressures of life and other people, but a place to relax and to recharge our batteries. That's what recreation is supposed to be. And we need to pick out those recreation activities that are virtuous, that are balanced with our own personal life and our family life and our church life, and that we keep it in control. But so much of what is viewed as recreation today degrades or diminishes us as human beings. In Luke 11, verses 34 and 35, Jesus said, "Your eye is the lamp to your body. And when your eyes are good, your whole body is full of light. But when they're bad, your body is also full of darkness. See to it then that the light within you is not darkness." Our playthings, whatever they are, cannot be the cause of us being less than what we've been called to be as Christians. We sometimes forget that we are holy children of God. Our playthings oftentimes are not bad in and of themselves. But we oftentimes allow them to take up so much of our time that we end up neglecting the important things of life. You know, Vicki and I, we know of a couple that their sons were extremely talented when it came to soccer. And they were on all kinds of travel teams. But they ended up losing their way because soccer became so important that it took them away from everything, including the church family. Becoming a better person requires us to exchange the things that only give us pleasure with the things that give God pleasure. Now, we don't need to eliminate all forms of recreation. We don't need to keep our nose to the grindstone 24/7. But we just need to get rid of those things that hold us back from growing in the wisdom and the stature of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 11, Paul says, "When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I thought as a child, and I reasoned as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things." Sometimes if we want to become that better person, we need to exchange the toys of childhood for the tools of a ministry that God provides the saints, or service to their families, their congregation, to the lost, and let's admit it, this world that is full of hurt. Becoming a better person is a desire shared by a majority of people. Just think when January 1st comes around and everybody's slinging around those ways of making themselves better. Their New Year's resolutions. Everything is to make them better. You know, I don't think you'll go out there and find a single person that goes out there and say they're trying to change to become the worst person they can possibly be. But for us to become better, then we need to be able and willing to change the places, the people, and the things that drag us down, and exchange these with the places and people and things that embody the type of person that we want to become. And after all of this, there is one more important point that we need to make in order to keep this matter of self-improvement in perspective. Becoming a better person is not what saves us. Believing and obeying Jesus Christ is what saves us. A non-believer can improve themselves here on this earth and really become a very nice and caring person. But no amount of personal improvement can ever atone for the past sins and mistakes. And the only way that one can become good enough for God is that believing repentance, confessing Christ, having his sins washed away in the waters of baptism. And as for us Christians, we seek to better ourselves as a response to God's grace. We grow because of God's blessings. And we must make every effort to improve as an expression of thanksgiving, not just for our own personal satisfaction, but of pleasing God, because we love Him. Not a way of only saving ourselves or achieving some personal righteousness, but because of our love for God. We are made right. We are made acceptable in God's eyes through our continued faith in Christ. not in personal growth. If there is anyone here this evening who is in need to respond to our invitation, we pray that you will come as together we stand and we sing.